The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, much has been made of Tánaiste Simon Harris's plans for a new savings scheme. But how do we make sure that everyone can avail of it and everybody reaps the benefits? Well, I'm joined by Dan O'Brien now, Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs. Dan, thank you for being with us. I understand you've just stepped off the stage at an event where your organisation was launching your response to all of this. So is it fair to say that you welcome the concept, firstly?
Oh, absolutely, Claire. And thanks for having me on. Look, just to put this in context, Claire, 2021 to 2023, we had the first serious bout of inflation in 40 years. The cost of living went up by 25% in less than 2 years. Now, because we have 170 billion sitting in bank accounts earning little or no interest, what happened? We had a quarter of all of that money effectively being incinerated. That is, tens of billions of people's savings went up in smoke. That is the biggest episode of wealth destruction we've seen in this country since the property crash, and it's probably the second biggest episode of wealth destruction we've ever seen in the history of this country. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that people have options other than sticking their money in savings deposits so that they can protect their money and see it grow.
But who owns this money? Because the central bank figures show us that 60% of bank deposits are held by the wealthiest 20%. Like, not everybody, and a lot of people listening to this program, have the capacity to save.
Well, that's true, but an awful lot of people do. And more people would probably save if they thought their money wasn't at risk of being eroded by inflation. So if you had a simple, straightforward product that every man and woman in the street can understand, people will be more likely to save for the future. And that is good for people because not only does it allow them to build up their wealth, mm-hmm. but it also gives people more of a cushion for those periods in life when, you know, you have difficulties and you need to fall back in your rainy day.
But if you exempt returns and profits made on these investments from capital gains tax, Dan, that is at a cost to the taxpayer, isn't it? That is money that is not going into the pot.
Well, we're certainly not advocating that there will be no tax at all. But, you know, I think there's a strong case to say that for those smaller savings, that you would give some tax incentive to the smaller people. Obviously, you wouldn't make it open-ended because that means people would, you know, move, people with loads of money would move their money out of whatever their investments now, where they pay capital gains, into these. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to get more ordinary people who either don't feel it's worth saving because inflation erodes away the value of their savings, or because they don't have easy, clear, simple options to put their money.
Mm-hmm. But should we not be pushing for more competition in the banking sector, perhaps more access to savings vehicles in Europe, banking in Europe? That's what we're supposed to have in the single market, isn't it?
Well, that would be the hope, that people would have a range of options in terms of where their money is invested, and that it's all as simple as possible, and people would have a graded, you know, rating one would be very low risk, but probably low return, something very close to a deposit. But maybe up higher at rating 8, for example, you might want to put your money into the American stock market. Now, that's probably over the years has always been a very good bet. But as we know, stock markets go up and down. You could find that 6 months after you invested, stock market's gone down and you've actually less money. Mm-hmm. But over the longer term. But a lot of this is about sort of looking at this for what time frame you want to invest. If you're investing for your child, for example, and they're not going to be needing this money for maybe 20 years when they're looking for a deposit for a house, then it's much a better idea to put into higher return investments. Because it doesn't really matter if the stock market moves up and down for the next 10, 15, 20 years. It's only at the time that the child will need the money that you'd be concerned about.
Mm-hmm. John Fitzgerald has been writing about this recently in the Irish Times. He says it's tax cuts for the rich paid for by everybody else.
No, I don't agree with that. I think depending on how you design it, I think, you know, countries like Sweden, for example, have been leaders in this. Now, Sweden's about as social democratic a country as you can find. And, you know, they have this for more than 10 years. I think about a quarter of Swedes have one of these investment accounts. It's been a huge success in Sweden. It's giving people, no matter how much they're saving, better returns on their savings, and at the same time, more money has gone into the Swedish economy in terms of money flowing into productive investment within the Swedish economy. Mm-hmm. So it's been a win-win.
Is that what we're saying should happen to the money invested in these schemes, that they would be pumped back into the Irish economy? Because a lot of the startups that we have now, they gravitate, don't they, to the United States when they need to scale up?
Well, this is just to put it in context here. This is very much in the context of the EU trying to get more money staying in Europe, because in recent years, Europeans have been exporting their money to the United States to get in on the US stock market. And it would be better for all of us in Europe if the money stayed and was invested in companies and startups in Europe. So I think part of the design of this product for the government will be, you know, investing in small startups is a very risky one. Mm-hmm. So you want to let people know that if you want your money to be invested in Irish startups, you know, that is risky, because most startups don't succeed, but the ones that do can often be spectacular. So you want to make it very clear to people, if people feel they have €5,000 and they wanted to invest it in Irish startups, that they could do that, but they would be, that would sort of have a 9 or a 10 rating in terms of risk.
You could lose it all.
Investment. Or you could lose a good chunk of it, because you're not going to invest in, these products wouldn't invest in single companies. They'd invest in a portfolio of companies. Mm-hmm. And some of those companies would fail, some would succeed. It will be unclear how well you do. You could do spectacularly well, or you could do not so well. So that would be a riskier investment.
So why are you saying then that young adults, that younger people should have tax-free products? What's the win there?
Well, the win is to allow people to use the money that they've saved, that might be sitting in a bank deposit, that they could use it for in a way that they earn more from it over the longer term, and they can build up their wealth. That allows people to be more secure. It allows people to buy homes. There are so many advantages to allowing people to build up the wealth that they have, no matter how much it is, whether it's a small sum or a bigger sum.
And what's the cutoff point? What is a young person for this purpose? When should they start paying tax on their gains?
Well, look, that's all to be decided and debated over time. You know, we're not, in this report, we haven't been too prescriptive in terms of every single detail. But I certainly think that you know, there is a case to be made for younger people to have better treatment, because home ownership amongst younger people, a big issue, is lower than it used to be. And allowing people, and giving people an incentive, and allowing, facilitating people to build up a deposit for a home, I think is a very important objective.
So if this is a pan-European effort, does this mean naturally follow that we will all be able to put our money on deposit in a European bank of our choosing, where we might get a better interest rate if we don't want to go down this investment vehicle route?
Well, that's certainly not under discussion at the moment. I think it'd be a great thing, because we've had European integration in many areas, but unfortunately in the retail sector we haven't. So you can't go and get a mortgage from a French bank, and you can't put your deposits on deposit in a French bank very easily. So I think it will be, that is a separate issue from what we're talking about today in terms of this investment account. But I certainly think part of that broad,
Dan's line seems
Europe
to be
bringing the EU together.
Sorry, Dan, your line just faded there. So no return to the SSIA, and that's not something you're advocating for.
Absolutely not. No. That was a big subsidization from the taxpayer. We're certainly not advocating for that kind of a product. This is more about giving people a sense of how they can save their money and build up their money over a longer period of time, and get used to the idea of investing rather than just leaving your money on deposits where it's been burnt away by inflation.
Dan, thank you for joining us. Dan O'Brien there from the Institute of International and European Affairs.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.